You are listening to the audio from Grace Bible Church. This audio message is a recording from our Sunday morning worship service. We hope you enjoy.
Well, good morning, Grace Bible Church. It is a great day to be with you. I'm so happy to be able to be here to share God's word with you this morning. My name is Pastor Dan. I'm the youth pastor here. My privilege to be able to share God's word with you today. And as I typically try and do, I try and give you guys an update on what's happening in the youth ministry. In case you don't see it on a Wednesday night, it's craziness, I understand. But I want to give you an update. We are headed to snow camp next month, Valentine's Day weekend. And we're taking, Lord willing, 40 teenagers up to Word Life Snow Camp in upstate New York. So there's a couple pictures back behind me of what happens there. A lot of fun. A lot of snow-based activities, some gym-based activities, dodgeball, basketball, all the kinds of things that a teen loves to do, hanging out with their friends. But also, on top of all of that, there's also this great opportunity for them to hear God's word clearly. On Friday nights, they have a salvation message where the gospel was clearly shared, and they are given the opportunity to make a decision for Christ. And then Saturday and Sunday, both of those days, they pack with chapel sessions that help our students grow in their relationship with Jesus and really challenge them to step into their world, shining the light of Jesus, being different. And so, for one, I just want to say thank you, because if you bought a ticket to the pasta dinner this last fall, you helped one of those students or several of those students be able to go to snow camp, so thank you for that. But also, I just want to say just thank you for your support and investing in teenagers and in the, I believe, in the church leaders of tomorrow. So let us pray, not only for snow camp, but also for today's service and for the topic that we have to talk about in God's word. So let's start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is so good to be in your house today and to hear from you and your word. And so, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me. God, that you would bless this time as we seek to learn more about you and seek to learn more about how you desire and have designed us to live differently. And so, God, as we walk through your word today, may it be an encouragement to our soul and a challenge to make choices that would choose to honor and glorify you. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so today we are continuing on in our series entitled Good Habits, which initially begs the question for me, how long does it take to quit a bad habit and start a new one? So if I went online and I went and I found a study that was done in 2009 from the European Journal of Social Psychology, and on average it takes a minimum of 18 days and a maximum average of 254 days. That's very broad, isn't it? It's like, I just looked at that and went like, really? What happened to the 21-day rule? Like, that's typically what I've heard. But no, 254 days, you know, the maximum time frame on average. To which case, it causes a lot of people to wonder, why bother? And if I've asked some of the times these questions amongst teenagers, hey, what are you looking to change in your life? And they're like, yeah, a few things, but not really anything I'm hoping for, because if it doesn't pan out, I'm not disappointed. Right? It's like, okay, but I wonder, we have maybe the wrong motivation. What is the problem here? We might have the wrong motivation because the motivation is based upon our success. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not about bettering yourself, but that's not necessarily the point, I think, of these good habits that we're talking about even today. We ask the question, what will this good habit do for me? How will it make my life easier, more comfortable, or better? And I wonder if we have the wrong motivation. I wonder if we had a different motivation, if something would be different. Maybe that good habit that we were trying to instill would look differently. See, what if God made you and I for more than just us? More than just a better you. So today, on our good habits, we are going to be learning about serving and generosity. And I took the liberty of using my 2 semesters in Greek, which I can't claim a whole lot for, because it was like at 6:30 in the morning. Pastor Dave knows, we were in that class together. I didn't get a ton out of it, But there's a couple things I did get, and it gave me the chance to look up on a couple of these Greek words for serving and generosity. Serving looks like this. Diakonio, all right? Yeah, I know, right? I went to school for this, right? But this is a variation of service, okay? Diakonos is actually the word for service, and it's actually where we get our word deacon. But diakonio is this different variation of service, and I love it. It means this, to raise dust. And you might look at that and go, that doesn't mean anything with service. But think about it. It's saying you got to get your hands dirty. You got to move. If I were to put this in my own translation, it would be, get thyself off thy couch, right? You got to get up. You got to move. You got to move dust, right? Raise dust. I love that translation. But when we look at this, this is the idea that we cannot serve sitting down. We got to get our hands dirty. And I think of an image of like a waiter at a table, and they're there. They're not just serving you your drinks and your food, but they're also making sure that you're attended to, that you have everything that you need, and they're humble about it. The next word is generosity. Hapoletes. I think I'm saying it the right way. But it means giving without pretense. Giving without pretense, and put in the Pastor Dan translation, is to give with no strings attached. To give with no strings attached. And I picture the Good Samaritan who saved the life of the Israelite who fell among thieves and got beat up and left for dead, and helped him and nursed his wounds, took him to an inn, paid for his stay, and offered to pay anything that the tab that ran up, his medical bill, with no strings attached. That's the generosity that we're going to be talking about today. And now, what should our motivation be to instill these good habits of service and generosity, not just to make us a better us, but what we're going to see is that it has potential for so much more. And I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. That's page 820 in your chair Bible. I had to underline it, circle it, yeah, chair Bible. Today we are going to see these three motivations for service and generosity. And the first motivation is this, is that God made us for a mission. God made you, God made me for a mission. What could that mission be? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking, this is one of his popular sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. He goes through the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed, blessed. He explains all these things. He says that we are the salt of the earth. And then he gives us this mission in verse 14 through 16. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You see, God made us for a mission to let our light shine. Now, this verse taken out of context means we got to walk around with a candle or a flashlight, even in the dark. But in the right context, what is he saying is that our mission is to shine God's light in a dark and evil world. The Apostle John says this in 1 John 1:5. He says, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. See, John is not talking about God as being the electromagnetic radiation that is light. He's saying, when he's describing light and he's referring to God's character, his holiness, his righteousness, purity, goodness, kindness, mercy, abounding in steadfast love, justice, and truth. Think about light, what it does to a dark room. We're now able to see, and in my case, it's very important in my house, all the Legos that are on the floor, the things that we need to avoid, the consequences of our sin. The light emanates and allows us to see that. Think about light and how it provides warmth, right? And color, we can see color. That's what light is. It allows us to see the different spectrums of light. It also gives us vitamin D, which helps us a lot, and especially we notice it in wintertime when we don't have it as much. Or just happiness. When the sun is shining, it provides an element of joy. And in the same way light does all these things, God's light provides sight to our sin and the consequences, warmth and love, enjoyment. Think about it, enjoyment in the full color that God has in every single aspect of our life, in our marriages, even in our workplace. God provides a different perspective on how we live and what we do and provides joy and color that we can enjoy. He gives us eternal life and true joy. Now, if you have Jesus, you know the value of God's light in your own life. But here's the thing. We were made for more than just to experience that light ourselves. Here's how I know this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God made man in his own image." Pause. If God is light and in him is no darkness, and then he made us in his image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them, and we were made. And like Jesus referenced this in verse 16. "So let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven." He made us to model his own likeness in light. Now, I have four kids, and all of my kids, they look like me and Dana differently, but like everyone looks at our kids like, yeah, you can definitely tell they're all yours. Yeah. Sure. Okay, but when they're born and they first come home, there's always that, like, who do they look like more? I don't know. It's scrunched up little face, you know, like, I don't know. But it's one of my kids has been graced with my good looks, I think. You know, the most, probably more than any of them. This is Nathan. He's our youngest. Okay? This is, don't let that face fool you, though. Okay? For real. He's got more energy than my other three combined. So, Nathan, I didn't know this until, like, my mom started bringing it up. But, like, we look a lot alike. So here's a picture of both of us side by side. Can't you tell? Right? We're wearing the same hat. Like, don't we look the same? This is goatee Dan. Yeah. Maybe you can't tell. Okay. But let's go back to a picture of me when I was around Nathan's age. Let's go to that picture. Aww. And then I turned into this. I know. But it's fun and interesting. Like, no, we're not identical. It's not like we're twins. But we have very similar eyes. We had very similar cheek structure. Like, the nose, sure. Like, we're not really surprised when we see our kids. We understand how that works. Our genetics gets passed down in the image of God, though. We were made in the image of God, in his likeness. Our motivation should be to serve in generosity, should be to come and do these things for our Heavenly Father, to make him look good. Because I am made in God's image, I want to go and do good works, to show off how good my Heavenly Father is, because I am made in the image of God. How good is God? Well, let's look and see the second motivation for serving in generosity is God made us his masterpiece. And I'm going to share a couple of verses quite quickly with you guys, but I want you to focus in and catch all of the generosity that are shared within these verses, okay? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he," what? "He gave. He gave us his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Matthew 20, verse 28 says, "Even as the Son of Man," this is Jesus, "came not to be served, but to" what? "Serve," right? "And give his life a ransom for many." Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Can I just say this? God is so good. Amen? God is so good. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and generously give his life as a ransom for many so that anyone who believes in him can have eternal life. Now ask the question, have you ever accepted that free gift before? His generosity before? He served us first and came to earth, lived that perfect life that we couldn't live, died the perfect death to pay for all of our sin, past, present, and future, and rose again to life so that whoever believed in him could have that eternal life. And it takes admitting that you're a sinner, admitting that we have fallen short of God's perfection and holiness, that he can't have a relationship with us. Then believing in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, believing that he rose again and is seated on the throne. And then there takes a call. You have to put your trust in him and ask him to be your Savior. If you've never done that before, you can do that today. You can do that in your seat just quietly, even right now. But if you do accept Christ today or want to learn a little bit more, I encourage you, talk to a friend. Tell a friend that you just did that. Tell me, write it on our new card there in front of you and put it in our gray basket. We just want to celebrate with you and also help you grow in your relationship with Christ today. And if you're here today and you've already done that, you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, we've just got done reading Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I want to look at verse 10. It says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, the New Living Translation says it this way. It says that, "For we are God's masterpiece." We are God's masterpiece, that which a craftsman toils and pours over his time, his talent, and his resources into developing this masterpiece. And God says, "You are my masterpiece." And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I get sucked into watching videos of somebody making something. I'm watching a carpenter. He puts this ugly log on a lathe and turns it into this really cool bowl or a coffee tumbler. I don't know why I get so entranced in watching it and how it all works. I don't have a lathe. You know, I can't even do that. Or maybe I get sucked into watching like an artist having a blank canvas, nothing on it, and putting colors whichever way they please, and then afterwards it's this amazing collection, an art piece. Or maybe a musician who takes just a couple notes and moves them around and creates this amazing song. And I get sucked into watching these things and going, yeah, wow, look at what they can do. But what is God's design for you? What is God's design for you? Do you believe that you are his masterpiece for good works? This is how good God is. God made us his masterpiece for good works. It's mind-blowing to me that we are not saved by our works. We are saved by grace through faith in God's works on the cross. And now, we are saved for good works. Get this. God has already dreamed up how we are to do good works to shine that light in a dark world. He's already dreamed that up. We just have to walk in it. And it's not hypothetical. We just have to walk in it. Imagine, what if God has a plan for you to serve someone this week that leads them to not take their own life? Imagine if God has a plan for you this week to show generosity to someone and it causes them to want to come back to church. What if God has a bigger and better plan for you and for I than just bettering ourselves? That service and generosity is a way that is going to work to change the life of somebody else. And we just have to walk in them. God already has a design and a plan for us. He desires us to shine that light. What is it about this week? Well, how do we do that? How do we walk in these good works? Well, let's look at the third motivation, the last one today. Serving and generosity is this, is that God made us a manager. God made us a manager. What is this? In Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to paraphrase it. We don't have all the time, but Jesus shares a parable. He shares a parable about a man who goes on a long journey, but before he leaves, he brings his servants and he entrusts to them different things. To one, he entrusts 5 talents. Now, talents is a large sum of money. And to another, he entrusts 2 talents, and the last one, he entrusts 1. He leaves on his journey, but then after a long while, he comes back and brings all of his servants together. And the servant that was given five talents has earned another five talents, or doubled his master's gift that he had given to him. And the servant that had two talents has doubled as well. And to both of these servants, he says this: "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." But the servant that had given one talent had gone off and buried it in the ground, like a cheeky squirrel, as my kids would say, and then brought it back to his master and said, here's your talent. I didn't lose it. I didn't invest it. I just gave it to you," and came up with a whole bunch of excuses as to why he didn't do anything with it. And this is what the master said to him. He said, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed." And then it talks about that the master took that servant and cast him into the outer darkness, in a place that is said that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this parable, a parable is a fictional story with a spiritual meaning. All of humanity has been made in the image of God, has been given talents to invest. And one day Jesus will come and settle accounts with the world and with us and evaluate each one of us and how we managed and how we stewarded what he has given to us. So what has God made us a manager of is the next question. What has he given us to manage? And there are three things. God made us a manager of our time, talents, and treasures. So let's talk about time. Time. Time is money, you might have heard. And in some ways that's true. All of us have been given a paycheck as it were, of time. Every single one of us gets a paycheck of 24 hours in a day. And what we do with that is, in large scale, our prerogative, our decision. How are we going to manage it when it comes to serving and generosity? In Ephesians 5:8, it says this: "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then in verse 15 and 16, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." How many of you guys can agree the days are evil? Okay. I get a couple mm-hmms. That's good. I think we can. We turn on the news, it's everywhere. I think all of us, if we looked over our past week, we could see evidences that the world that we live in, the time that we live in, is evil. But we can be quickly lured in to walk in that darkness, stumbling around, wasting our time on meaningless things. But we are children of the light. And so there's a call for something different. How do we waste our time? I looked up a stat, and it was kind of disturbing to me, but I looked it up, and this past year in 2025, Child Therapy Center did a survey on what is the average amount of time that teenagers spend on their phones? You guys can make a little guess in your head, okay? But here's what it says. The numbers paint a clear picture. The typical teen now spends 7 hours and 22 minutes daily looking at screens. That's nearly half of their waking hours. Okay. Seven, almost and a half hours, okay? Now before, I'm not saying screens are bad, okay? That is not the point I'm making right now. I'm just saying that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. And before we get too quick to judge teenagers on their phones, adults, your average is 5.5. And those kids aren't working a full-time job like you are. So, I don't know. Like, it's not much better. I'll just say it that way. But I think there's a challenge for us in this. What we do with our time, because the days are evil. We need to do a little bit of an audit maybe this week. And I want to challenge you guys to do this. How much of your time do you think is spent on yourself? what you want to do, your pleasures, things like that. Okay? Go through your week, kind of calibrate it, look at it, articulate, extrapolate, all those things. How much time was spent with God? How much time was spent with others? How much time was spent on your phone? It's an interesting study to do, something to just think about. And I want to invite you to do this, too, this week, is take your calendar. Most of you have your calendar on your phone. Take your calendar with you to a prayer meeting with Jesus. Ask him what time is being used poorly, not managed well. Look at your calendar and go, where am I serving on this calendar? Where am I planning to be generous during this week? Who needs more of my time? And if you have a physical calendar, it's always a good thing to write this down. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And the other challenge is this. Be present. Wherever you are, be present. No phones at the table. Eat at the table together. Look people in the eyes and talk to them. Did you notice how we talk to people now? Side by side, we hardly look into each other's eyes, and a lot of times with teenagers, they'll be talking to each other while looking at their phones, okay? And I've seen adults do the same thing. So talk to each other, look into each other's eyes. It actually is awkward, but it's healthy, and why we do that, because people are important. We are made in the image of God to do life together. So I want to challenge you to do that. Use your phone for good things. Send a random text to somebody encouraging them or asking how you can pray for them. Call them and just interact with them. Or you could do it old-fashioned way, write a card, okay? You know what's amazing? I have a dog, and we use this one company, I won't say which, but they send him a birthday card, a handwritten birthday card. Every year. How would you? That's a job. Somebody's job is to write my dog. Every single year. And I'm amazed at the time and investment that they put into that. How many cards do we write to people sharing that we celebrate their birthday or their life or we encourage them or notice something about them? And I think we could do better. I think there are some more opportunities to use our time to be that light around other people. It's just time. Okay? Next one is talents. Talents. And you're like, well, Dan, I don't have that many talents. Okay, listen. Growing up, my dad instilled in me a very high priority of a work ethic. Every single time somebody was moving into or out of the area, my dad dragged me along, and we would help him move. And what's really fun about this is I found out something I didn't know about myself, a talent I didn't know I had. I'm really good at luggage Tetris, okay? I don't know what it is, and it's actually probably weird, but I get a weird joy out of packing a truck as tightly as you can and just seeing everything in their house fit. There's been a few times that didn't happen, but that's because they got a smaller truck. But anyway, I learned a lot of things. I learned that I actually love serving. I love serving. I love being able to help people. I learned that my spiritual gift, one of my spiritual gifts is serving. And in being able to use that, I have seen how that has not only brought me joy, but it also has given me a means to shine the light to other people. Now, there's a whole host of spiritual gifts that are in Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, and if you want to just look those up, you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, just write this down and go look this up later. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Find out what your spiritual gift is. Now, some of these spiritual gifts are attributed to, like, first century church, not used as much anymore. The gift of healings, we wouldn't say works as much anymore, okay? But moving on, one thing you want to do is know what your spiritual gift is and use that gift to shine the light of Jesus and be a good manager of that gift. Maybe you have personal passions, like music. Or maybe you have muscles and you can help somebody move. Maybe you're maintenance inclined. You can help fix something for somebody else. Maybe you're a mechanic and you can help fix somebody's car and do something. Maybe you're interested in mentoring somebody and helping encourage somebody else. Those are all very practical passions that you guys can put in place to show off your talents for the good of the Lord. And if you are interested in serving here at Grace Bible Church, in raising some dust, getting your hands dirty, you can mark that on that card there in front of you. You can sign up online and look at the many different ministries that we have going on and get plugged in. Don't make excuses. Because I used to do that. I used to make excuses. Well, I can't do this because I'm not good at it. I can't do this because I'm not smart enough. I can't do this. And if I had time, I could go into a ton of areas where God has just shown up. And God's used me in so many special ways. And I want to invite you to be a part of that as well. And the last thing is, we can manage our treasures. Finances, gifts, money. 10 years ago, my wife and I had just gotten home from the hospital with our firstborn daughter. And so I was at home with them, helping them get adjusted and stuff like that. And I get a call. I believe it was from Pastor Mike. I can't quite remember if it was Pastor Terry or Pastor Mike, but they said, you have to get down here. You have to get down to the church. Come on down. They wouldn't let me. Why? Like, what do you need? It's like, no, you just got to come down here. We need you. So I come down to the church, and there's a family here from the church, and I sit down and with them, and they said, we want to give you our truck. What? Yeah, we want to give you our truck. That truck out there, it's Chevy S10. I have a picture of it. Nice and shiny, brand new. Okay, we want to give you this truck for free. Nothing. You don't owe us anything. They even paid all the transfer fees and everything. And they told me the reason why was because they had been blessed by God and they wanted to bless somebody else. They didn't know that my car was in need of more money than it was worth. They didn't know that I had been praying about what to do. They didn't know that I was worried about having a kid and finances and all of that stuff. They didn't know that they gave me that truck the exact anniversary, 2 years prior I decided to come to Grace Bible Church. They didn't know. They didn't know. And it's hard to know what God will do with your generosity, but you will never know if you never give. This generosity gave me more than just a truck. It gave me an encouragement to keep serving. It gave me an answer to a prayer. And also, it gave me more opportunities to serve others. I was able to use this truck to help other people move, grab furniture, do this and that, and encourage other people along the way. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I'm not here to con you. I'm here to invite you into what we have been given is an opportunity to be able to bless others as we manage it well. So yes, we need to be good managers of our own finances. We need to be wise. But part of that purpose, we need to be wise, is so that we can be cheerful givers to bless other people and shine that light in that way, to be a servant and be generous. So we have covered a lot today. And as I wrap up, I want to remind us of this one verse. If there's one verse that we can take away, is this. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And if I were to come down to a one thing, I couldn't do it this week. I have two, okay? Shine like your Heavenly Father. Raise some dust. You pick which one you like the most. Mine is raise some dust. I'm going to invite the praise team up at this time. And as they're coming forward, I truly believe that this is a very generous church. And I believe that we have many godly servants in this church. I am just excited to see and look forward to seeing what God is going to do in and through you as we believe that God made us for a mission to shine that light, that God made us his masterpiece for good works, and that God made us to manage our time, talents, and treasures. What could God do with that in you, in me? Let me pray. God, as we have looked into your word and looked into the motivation that we should have to serve, to be generous. God, I pray that in all these things we would seek to look like you. You are awesome, perfect, and in all these things that we have learned from you and see in you, God, I pray that we would practice in whatever ways that you reveal to us, God. It says that you have prepared these good works beforehand, that we should walk in them. So God, may we be attentive to how you lead us to walk in them. And whenever somebody says, wow, that was amazing, that thing that you did, let us give all the glory back to you. Let us point back and say, I learned it from my heavenly Father. God, in that way, may we give you praise. And I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Grace Bible Church. For more information about our church and our ministries, you can visit gracebiblepa.com.